tell you about Windman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, Tad?
Remember the Grinch leak? I sure don't. You want to talk about digital and physical card games?
Yeah.
So, now, card games were mostly in paper, booster packs, deck boxes, going to comic shops, all that dumb stuff. Until about 2014, when Hearthstone came out, and Hearthstone was like the first big digital trading card game. And when Hearthstone came out, it was actually really cool because there's a big difference between what you can do with a physical card game and what you can do with a digital card game. So I thought it'd be really fun to go through some of the advantages that a digital card game has over a physical one that a physical one just like cannot do. So now I actually haven't played that much Hearthstone. I played it once or twice at a cousin's house. Alex knows more about specific cards and mechanics than I do. Well, mm-hmm. I've played Magic for about 5 years, so I know a lot more about that.
So with Hearthstone, you've got this fucking game. It came out back in 2014. I specifically remember it came out when you visited me. And you were pissed off that I wouldn't play Magic, but oh, I'll play this, like, beta for Hearthstone.
And I was entirely within the right, Alex.
Dude, no. Alright, so here's the story, right? I'm working my night shift. This is, like, when I first get the job. I sleep for 4 hours because this asshole wakes me up. And he's like, yo, Alex, come on. Let's play Magic the fucking Gathering. Let's play Mario Party 2 on my fucking N64 emulator.
Alex, it's not my fault that you didn't fall. I went to bed at a normal time. You went to bed at like 3 a.m. and got woken up at 9 like a normal person.
Ooh, I'm going to kick you in the fucking face. So anyway,
I've been playing... chose to work nights, Alex. You made that decision.
And you also chose to wake me up.
Yes, I did.
You also chose to lose the very first game of Magic I ever played with no sleep because I just killed you with the fucking Abby Cat that went through your like taunt or whatever. So anyway, because I'm the card game god... With Hearthstone, I've been playing that game since it basically came out. And then I stopped playing it after like 2 years because fuck spending money on that. I'll just waste money on Fate instead. With Hearthstone, I've been still following it and watching it like all the fucking time because it's very interesting to still keep up with it, even if you don't want to spend the money to play it, you know? So, with Hearthstone, one of the best things it has over, say, a Magic the Gathering physical card game is... You don't have to, one, carry your deck around with you all the time. Two, you don't have to go out anywhere to play it. You can just sit on your computer and play it right then and there. And with collecting cards, they don't take up any actual physical space. And you don't have to, say, get like 30 of some garbage land you don't want. With Hearthstone, you get extra garbage cards. You can just dust them and get rid of them.
Now, mechanics-wise, I'd say the biggest, one of the biggest pluses that it has is that a digital card game allows for a lot more variety in RNG mechanics.
Exactly.
Let's say if I play a goblin test pilot. I tap him, he deals 2 damage to a random target. How do you find out what that is? Well, I guess, here, we'll just count and then roll a 20-sided die. And then just do that, like something like that to figure it out. There's no, like, random button you can press. With a digital card game, you're able to do that. You're able to just play it, and that's it. It just chooses the thing randomly.
Exactly. And
it lets you do crazier shit, like when you cast this card, cast a random minion from all the minions in the game. This allows for, like, messy things. Now, there was a god card or something that, I don't remember its name, but it, like, makes you cast, like, a million random spells, and it targets all sorts of crazy shit. That would never happen in a physical game. It'd be way too much of a fucking pain in the ass to go through.
Yeah, I don't even know how, like, something like that is physically impossible to do with cards unless you have some, like, referee who just has, like, all, like, 900 printed cards of Magic. He just puts his fucking hand in a bag and pulls out shit, right?
900.
Oh, God. So anyway, that card you're thinking of is Yogg-Saron. His whole gimmick was for every one spell you cast that game, he'll cast one random spell at a random target. He was supposed to be just a fun little meme card they threw in the expansion. So he was brought in every single tournament because you have a chance to just win the game off of him, right? Yeah, real big oops with that. But here's the thing that's great about a digital card game over a real one. They can nerf things. So Yogg-Saron got changed. So when he was casting his random spells, if one killed him, it ended. The effect was just over. So he could drop down and immediately like pyroblast himself, and then the turn was just over.
Okay, so how it worked before, Magic's action system works on something called the stack, where every time something would happen, it goes on top. Like, think of it like a stack of cards. Like, I tap my elf for mana. That goes on the deck. That goes on the stack. And then you cast a lightning bolt to kill him. Lightning bolt goes on top, and then they resolve downwards. Although, technically, that would be a mana ability. You cannot respond to those. But that's how Magic handles it. So with this thing, it sounds like Hearthstone uses a kind of similar system where spells will stack on top of each other. You can... Well, actually, can you even do anything in response to a card in Hearthstone? Because I know there's not counter spells or instants that you just play out of your hand.
Well, with Hearthstone, you have traps that can proc on the opponent's turn, but outside of that, no. When it's the opponent's turn, it's the opponent's turn. You just have to sit there and wait, which is why people back in the day, they still kind of complain about it now, but especially back in the day, when charge was a really big thing, what a rogue would do back in the Goblins and Gnomes expansion is he would put down Leroy Jenkins, buff him up with Cold Blood, use Tinkmaster's Oil or whatever on his weapon, which also buffed the minion. And then now Leroy Jenkins is going to do 14 damage to your face on that exact turn he just played, which is like half of somebody's health. There is literally nothing you could do about that. He just had all the cards, so now you just lose.
I think they went without an instant or response system until they added those trap cards. Because I think they intended Hearthstone to be more of a casual game than your normal card game. I mean, look at the mana system that they use. In Magic, you have... A player has to decide how many lands to put into a deck, and then take those lands, splice them with normal cards, and play that way. With Hearthstone, you're always guaranteed a mana flow. You're always going to start the game with one, maybe two if you lose the coin flip, mana, and then each turn from there.
See, in Hearthstone, though, you are actually allowed to play with your mana, but only a couple classes are allowed to do that. Like, Druid can gain a little extra mana faster with Wild Growth, which gives them one empty crystal. So now the next turn, they'll have one more mana than the opponent, right? And then you also have shit like Warlock, which can have some cards that destroy mana crystals to pay for, like, a... Think of it like a tribute summon, almost, right? No one uses those cards that they suck. And then there's also Shaman has actually a really unique one, where it's Overload. So say there's a card that's 2 mana, deal 8 damage, but... You're locked out of 3 mana next turn.
Okay, that's kind of fun. Now, have those been in there since the start of Hearthstone, or were those things they added in later cards?
Those types of cards have always been in there. You've always had Overload, you've always had the mana destroying one, because there was that one fucking Felguard, and then you've always had the Wild Growth of Vanilla card. It's always been in there. Druid ramping up has been its thing since the beginning of this game 4 years ago.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So you mentioned post-release balancing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of how well someone might say a company's balancing is, the ability to change a card post-release is really fucking good. There's been a few issues with Magic the Gathering. The most recent one that I can think of, they had, for the newest set, Guilds of Ravnica, there were double cards, which was 2 cards printed on one. For one of them was Invent and Invert. And Invert just says, switch the power and toughness of up to 2 target creatures. They had to errata it on the website to say, until end of turn. Because I guess they just fucking forgot to put it on the card.
Oof.
So like, if you were playing and you just used its ability, if you didn't know beforehand that it's been changed... Or someone didn't pull it up on the website on their phone. There's no way you can know. No way. There was a few other cards, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. I know that Magic has banned cards. There was a card called Splinter Twin. It cost two generic mana, and then red, so four in total. You enchanted a creature, and then that creature had tap, make a copy of this, except that it has haste, and it dies at the end of the turn. Not too bad. Whatever. Not too bad of a card. Except, there were two creatures that had flash, and what these creatures could do is you could wait until the end of your opponent's turn, and just go, all right, gonna pay three mana, he comes down, next turn I'm playing Splinter Twin. And when these guys came in, they untapped dude. So you just tap them until you have 500,000 and swing, because they all have haste. Or what is it called in Hearthstone, where a dude can enter and then attack the same turn?
Charge.
Yeah, so they would all have charge. And this was a problem because decks would turn into, if this person has three mana open, I cannot play my hand. I have to always have a counter spell up or a murder spell or something to destroy this creature when it comes in, or I'm just going to lose. There's nothing I can do about it.
See, it's funny mentioned that because, are you still going?
I was just going to say how my friend bought an entire binder worth of Splinter Twins and then they fucking banned the card and now it's worth maybe $50 for 120 Splinter Twins.
Yikes. Well, it's funny you mentioned that one minion can win the game, because Hearthstone actually had a big problem, and this is where nerfing comes into play. So, with Naxxramas, one of the earliest expansions they ever added, they added a really, really fun card called Undertaker. He's a little skeleton guy in a robe, who is a 1 mana, 1-2, but every time you play a Death Rattle minion, he gains 1-1. So, Tad, Naxxramas also came with a bunch of Death Rattle cards. Oops.
So basically, he synergized with every single card in that set.
Like 90% of them, yes. So you play like Hunter, because that was the early, that was the like aggro deck, aggro class of the of that time. This was forever ago. This was like 4 years ago. And he would just put Undertaker, and if you didn't immediately drop whatever type of removal you had, or you simply didn't have any early on, because there wasn't like a bunch of neutral removal at this point, you just lose. Because he's going to immediately put a 2-mana fucking death, he's going to put another one down, and just, oh, goody, as the thing gets buffed up and buffed up and buffed up, so now you're dealing with like a 1-mana fucking 5-6, and it'll just fucking just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that Hearthstone had to do was, every single deck in the game would run two tech cards. They would run Big Game Hunter, which was a little dwarf guy who says, I got the beast in me sights. And he pulls out a gun and shoots whatever minion and kills it if it has 7 attack or more. So you would build decks around either, oh, big minions are good this meta? All right, just slapping in a fucking Hunter into my deck, or two if you're really crazy. And then Ironbeak Owl, which was a little 2-mana like owl that silenced minions. So any of it, like if it's buffs, it's death rattles, it's anything, removed. Now it just has its flat like regular stats now.
Okay.
So Blizzard didn't like that for like 4 expansions, those two cards were in everybody's deck all of the time. So they increased the mana cost on both of them, and basically that made them less relevant. I'm surprised, considering big minions are still kind of big right now, but, like, yeah, people just stopped running those. People run another silence, but, like, Big Game Hunter just kind of died out. But what he did is he was kind of blockading the meta from evolving, because outside of Ragnaros, you wouldn't play a big minion. Because, hey, I know my opponents could be having 2 fucking Big Game Hunters. Like, fuck this, I'm just gonna have fucking, like, 6 attack minions instead. Oh, and by the way, luckily the Leroy Jenkins, who was a good kill card, was 6 attack. Just saying.
So, that's how Magic handles it, because Magic is a few different formats, and I believe the rule for Modern, which is like most recent Magic set all the way back to like 8th edition, is if you can consistently win the game before turn 4, this card is not going to be healthy to the format. Because if someone's playing a deck like, there's a deck that rides the line. It's just green, and it's called Infect. I don't think, it doesn't really have, like, a funny name. There's a mechanic called Poison, where if a player gets hit with 10 poison counters, they just lose the game. So what the deck is it's real simple. It costs, like, $40 to play, and it's strong enough that you can play it in a modern deck. It's just, here is my one cost 1/1 with Infect. I'm gonna swing it, and then play a shitload of buffs on it and deal 10 damage, you died. But it usually takes until about turn 5 or 6 for that to happen, unless you get very lucky. You know, if the opponent doesn't have any removal, or they have a bad draw. But consistently, you're not going to win super fast. So they're fine with it. That Splinter Twin became the game is held hostage at turn 3, and it never goes away. That threat is always there. Even if you don't have the fucking dude in your hand, if you just hold 3 mana open, the opponent can't play the game. They have to sit there and wait, because otherwise they're taking the risk of immediately losing. So they had to get rid of it.
Yikes.
And then some cards were just straight up too powerful. Jace the Mind Sculptor was like, I think it came out in the Zendikar set, and it was just so good. It was in 100% of the 100% of competitive decks. So they just had to cut it because it did fucking everything. I think it had 4 abilities. Normally, Planeswalkers only have 3.
So what is a Planeswalker exactly, if I may ask?
Well, in the lore of Magic the Gathering, the person playing the game is a Planeswalker, which is why each set in Magic is usually on a different setting. It's on a different plane. And then there's Planeswalker cards, which are... There's different types of permanents, which are things that stay on the battlefield. Lands, creatures, enchantments, and Planeswalkers, and then artifacts. Anything that doesn't, like an instant or a sorcery that just gets played and goes to the trash, that's not a permanent. But what they do is they come in and they have loyalty counters, and then they do stuff like +2, you draw a card, -3, kill a creature, and then they usually have some like -7 or -8 big dick ability. But those never come into play unless someone, because you can hit them and then they lose counters. But that's all they are. And they're always 100% of the time in the mythic rare slot. They're never like rare or anywhere below that. So they're hard to get and they're expensive. But they're not always fantastic. Sometimes they kind of suck. Now, you mentioned earlier about... So one of the pluses of a digital card game is that if you just have your tablet or a computer or even a phone for some of them, you have your entire collection. You don't need to carry your decks and your dice.
Exactly. And,
like, my downstairs has about 3,000 Magic the Gathering cards strewn across the entire fucking place.
Or, like, when you were playing at fucking Evo at the goddamn bar, you had, like, 5 little fucking packs in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, dude, I have 46 Magic the Gathering decks.
Oh, Jesus.
47 now, because I made a Demir standard one that I'm never going to get to play because I can't go to Friday Night Magic.
What a shame.
So, another thing I want to point out, because right now I'm going down all the pluses of a digital card game. I've got a bunch of pluses. I've got some that are kind of plus or minus, and then some of the negatives. But one of the big pluses is that there's a lot of, you can have flashy visuals and audio. If you play a legendary creature or like a mythic creature, they come in, it's like a big fucking, here's a dinosaur, stop. Whoa, yes, look at this. Whoa, badass, cinematic.
I fucking love that in Hearthstone, because you'll have cards like Bran Bronzebeard, and he's an explorer, so he comes swinging in on a rope. You've got fucking Hadronox, which is a big giant spider, so it comes in from like a web from the ceiling and lands on the board. Or Deathwing like flies by, burns the entire board, and then like spins and flips and like lands right on your side of the board. Or even
just for normal cards, the little like personalities, the voice lines. I got the beast in me sights, you know?
Yeah, or everyone's favorite back when this card was run, because this is a really old card, is a Defias like Outlaw or whatever. He's a little card that if you combo as and you play a card before him, he'll summon another guy. So at first he's like, this is our town, scrub. And the next one spawns right next to him. Yeah, beat it.
So now something that is mostly fine but can be shitty, the rules in a digital card game play out automatically. You don't have to worry like, wait a second, can I do this now? Am I allowed to do this thing right now? Like shuffling your deck in graveyard, automatic, don't need to worry about it.
You also don't have to worry about the opponent going like, no, I know the rules, you can't do that right now.
Oh, Alex, you put me on blast.
Yes. No, you can't. You don't have to worry about some idiot getting into an argument with you and getting into a fist fight, and then some referee has to pull out the fucking, like, 50-minute-long goddamn Magic the Gathering guide and be like, according to this, yes, he can. No, no, no. You play it, and it either works or it doesn't, because the card knows how to fucking get this shit done. The game, for the most part, takes care of it for you.
Yeah, the only time that something can happen with the rules not working is if there's a bug.
Mm-hmm. So, let me explain a little bug to you, Tad. We did a recording of this before, so he knows. I'm going to explain it to him again, because I'm explaining it to you guys.
I forgot really. About it.
Good. So, now in Hearthstone, there's a mechanic called lifesteal. At least there is a new one. Before, it was just kind of like printed on text, like if you do one damage, you'll get healed, because it wasn't a mechanic yet, right? There's one called Mistress of Pain. She was like a 4-mana 1/4, but whenever she did one damage to somebody, you would get healed. She was a warlock card. So, there's another card for Priest called Akanai Soul Priest, which is all healing that this hero does is now damage instead. But those are two different class cards, so no problem there. Unless, of course, you use Cabal Shadow Priest or Mind Control or Mind Control Tech, and you take over the Warlock minion, or the Warlock takes over your minion. So now, if Mistress of Pain hits something, you will get healed one health. But Akanai is there, so you actually take one damage. But Akanai, Mistress of Pain now did one damage to you, so you'll heal for one damage. But then she did one damage to you, so you're going to heal for one damage. And she'll just burn you downwards. And so when that first came out, it was bugged out because I never actually planned for that situation to happen. And she would do like 90 damage to you, and the game would like glitch the fuck out, and then you would lose.
See, now there's a setup pretty much. It was in standard, actually. It was within like 3 sets of each other. There was an enchantment that whenever you gain life, deal that much damage. And then another enchantment, whenever you deal damage, gain that much life. So if you did one damage or got one health, it would just bounce back and forth, and you'd be able to deal. I think the game would end in a draw, because you can't ever decide, I'm not going to trigger this ability. So it just bounces back and forth forever, dealing infinity amount of damage to your opponent, and then the game just ends. No one wins because you can't end that ability. You can't decide this is done with. Except for the one, there's like an artifact card that has the ability of tap it, the turn's over. And it just ends the turn and it goes on to the next person's turn. It causes a lot. The ruling page on that card is like 5 fucking pages, dude.
Yikers.
But now, with a physical card game, you can have misrulings. There was a card recently that came out called Helm of the Host. What it is, it's an artifact that you put onto someone. It's an equipment. And it makes a copy of them, except they're not legendary. And what happened is that most of the time in Magic, when there's a card like that, so the legendary rule is you can only have one of them on your side of the field. If another one appears, one of them has to die.
All right.
So what usually happens is when anything that makes those type of things, the thing dies at the end of the turn. But if you actually read the text on Helm of the Host, it makes a copy of that dude that's not legendary. And that's it. It stays. You can just keep making them. And if you looked at the official ruling for the card, the dude who read it and like put it up on there misread the fucking card, because it's the only card in the game that does that. So you can misrule even people who are, and this is going to be literally the nerdiest thing on the planet, Alex, official Magic the Gathering judges.
Oh, dude, I'm picturing like Steve Urkel with his big, like, his fucking pants from, like, all the way up.
Literally. But if you're a judge, dude, you get some fucking slick judge promos. What they'll do is at big events, they'll have people who are judges that can, like, make decisions with cards and shit. And then to pay them for their time, they'll give them fucking sick alternate art of really powerful cards. And they're, like, $400 each.
It's kind of like how Evo, you get a little jacket to wear.
So now, the other thing about the digital presentation of the game is that a digital interface might not be as intuitive as, like, I had a little bit of trouble when I was playing Magic Arena, the digital version that's not Magic Online, because Magic Online looks like it's from fucking 1992. It looks like shit. Magic Arena, I was, like, trying to figure out how to do stuff, because if I'm playing in person, you just take your card from your hand, put it down, tap your mana. But for Magic Arena, you had to play it down, and then it you had to like drag your mouse around to do a bunch of stuff. Like if you wanted to activate an ability, it was kind of weird. So it's not as intuitive as just simply touching cards and doing that. And in this one, a player might not fully grasp the mechanics of the game if it's all done automatically. I had someone that I played in Magic Arena that I saw had this happen to them, where in Magic combat, both creatures hit each other at the same time, unless one of them has first strike. First strike, they hit first, and then the other one. And he didn't understand what the hell was going on, because I could tell because he kept blocking my first strike dudes and then dying. And I could tell he's like, what? I don't get it. But because it automatically goes right through those steps, unless you like enter full control mode, it might not be like self-evident. It might be hard to understand how that works. So those are the goods and then the good slash bad. Now, I've got a few bad things about digital card games, and these aren't really, like, you know, super big deal breakers.
Outside of the bugs one, of course.
Yeah. So, for Hearthstone specifically, there's really limited customization. It's like card backs, and that's it, pretty much, right?
Not true. You have customizable heroes. So, the way it works is, like, and they usually give them away for, like, promotions. You could also buy some. So, like, say for Warrior, you could play as Garrosh Hellscream. He's the default one. But you can spend, like, what is it, like, $9, and you can get Magni. And he'll have different, like, little voice lines and everything. And his armor up, like, when you hit it and, like, gain armor, instead a little hammer comes down and bangs it, and then you gain armor. Little shit like that.
If you okay, play... see, I did not know that was a thing, because I was going to say that there's the card backs... and that's about it. But for normal, like if I went to a Friday Night Magic, there's deck sleeves, deck boxes, play mats, all that kind of shit that you can get. Like I've seen people who a guy really, really, really liked the card art for one specific card back from like 2001. And so he spent like $40 to make his own play mat of that art, because play mats are just mouse pads. I realized it when I spent like $40 on a Pyro mouse pad that it was literally the same as my $2 playmat I got from the comic shop. Now, so my biggest negative against digital card games is that I feel like the deck building isn't natural.
What do you mean by this?
I'm not sure if it's the case for other digital card games, but for Hearthstone... you told me that you're basically given a pile of cards and some idea decks that say, hey, you're missing 7 cards out of this deck to make this kind of deck.
Which is some horse shit, by the way.
So what this does... oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so Hearthstone, when you first started out, basically throws you to the fucking dogs. Because it's all you get are the basic cards, and they're, like, really bad. Like, Frost will fucking grunt. Gee, thanks, Blizzard. So you are either stuck with buying classic packs because classic cards will always be relevant, unless they decide they're not, like Sylvanas and Ragnaros. Wink. And whatever the current year of expansions are. And you're basically fucked with either playing with these shitty fucking cards until you can save up a bunch of coins to buy them, or just spend money. I mean, it's a card game. You should be thankful they're even giving you any for free anyway.
So the issue I see with this, hey, here's a deck, why don't you build this, is, so when I first started playing Magic and all of my friends were, how we started was we bought, like, it. We went to fucking, we marched our happy asses to Walmart and bought an intro deck that would have a fancy schmancy shiny rare on the front of the deck. And it's like $14. Here's a deck and 2 booster packs and a 20-sided die. Have at it, kiddo. And those decks, the way that they were constructed would be, here's 2 or 3 mechanics. The one that I got, the blue and black one, the mechanics in it were Cypher, which is where you hit someone with a dude, like you sneak him under the battlefield and he hits a guy, and then you get to cast a bunch of free spells. The other one was just simply murdering and countering every single creature they played so that you could hit them with your giant 25-25. And then the other mechanic was just taking cards from the top of their library and milling them into the graveyard. So I was like, oh, I like this cipher. Let's take some older cards that I saw from this previous set that I saw when my friend showed me his deck. And I'm going to get some of those cards and base it around making this little unblockable, untargetable dude that just pop, 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 and I get to cast a bunch of spells. Wowee, isn't this neat? Oh, I liked Consuming Aberration. He gets super huge for all the cards in my opponent's graveyard. I'm going to make a deck around that. With this Hearthstone way, it's, this is the deck. Go get the cards to make this deck. It encourages you literally copying and pasting decks instead of experimenting and improving upon decks using cards that you have.
And to add to that, actually, a lot of the little pre-built decks they say you can make are usually not all that great because Blizzard, like, made them kind of sort of off of, like, whatever the previous tournament, like, results were. So it might be different. Like, I remember they were still talking about, like, C'Thun Priest when, like, it was, like, the fourth expansion after that. Like, okay, cool, thanks. This is literally unplayable right now. Don't tell me to make this. But one thing you could say you can do with Hearthstone, which is funny you mentioned control and pasting. So you can go to these, like, deck-building websites and literally hit Control-C on the website and Control-V in Hearthstone, and it'll copy the deck that it sees based on how if you have the cards or not already in your, like, book. I'll just put them all in there for you.
Yeah. Now, I know that some people prefer to play card games at, like, the highest skill level they can, where that's what you're doing. You're not wasting time trying to make a deck that's going to be suboptimal, because you can just copy whatever the best player's decks are and just play that one, because mm-hmm. you want to win. You get your enjoyment out of just winning the game. Your decks will be like, to use Magic the Gathering as an example. When we first started, one of my friends, John, he has a deck that's just called Rats, Bats, and Kitty Cats. It's called that because he found a card he really liked called Pack Rat. It's just a dude that's his power and toughness are equal to how many rats you have on the field, and he can constantly make clones of himself. And to go with this, he had a bat that was really useful, that allowed him to do something with those rats, and then he had a single cat in there that would make the opponent discard. And so he just called it Rats, Bats, and Kitty Cats.
I absolutely adore that name. That is super fucking cute.
Like, you've got these weird, goofy, jank-ass garbage decks, and then you've got Timmy McSpurgo, who googled top Magic the Gathering standard decks, and oh, you ask him, so you ask John what he plays, Rats, Bats, and Kitty Cats. You ask me what I play. Oh, I have a Ghosts and Goblins deck. It's 90% goblins except for the one ghost that I have in there, the one spirit. Because I thought that was fun. And he's like, oh, well, I play a Golgari mid-range deck. Not like nothing fun about it, just naming the type of deck it is and the colors. Because who gives a shit? It's one of those weird things where, like, you have this kind of weird attachment to a deck because you made it out of all these random fucking trash. And if you're just copying and pasting a deck, like these digital ones encourage, then you lose what I find to be really fun. I have 47 decks. I find it more fun to look at a mechanic and try to make a deck around that work than it is to just copy and paste and then play using the mechanics of the game itself just to win.
See, people do actually experiment in Hearthstone plenty of times. It's usually just when a new expansion comes out, because then people are like, oh, let's check out these new mechanics, but also, hey, maybe this combos with a card that came out, like, you know, two sets ago. You know, maybe it's time to take a look back, right? Mm-hmm. But that only happens during the first few weeks, and then everything kind of settles out, and when here are the good cards, here are the bad ones. A lot of this experimentation, too, is, in my opinion, I want to say misdirected, misguided, vile, evil, gross. Because what people will do is, low people aren't going to experiment. They're low, Tad. They're fucking peons. But you'll watch, say, Trump, not the president, the Hearthstone player. You'll watch Trump, or you'll watch Crip attempt, or you'll watch, like, Disguised Toast or something. You'll watch whatever big-name player you like at the time, or Fire Emblem, you know, put all these decks together and you watch them experiment, and they're doing it because they want to make a deck and have it be called, like, the Toast deck, the fucking Fire Bat deck. They don't want to do it. They don't do it just to call it, like, say, this is my mid-range priest. No, no, this is Fire Bat priest, because Fire Bat made it.
Hmm. That's actually really interesting, because that ties into the whole Twitch streaming stuff that traditional card games. I think Magic the Gathering's Pro Tour is sometimes on Twitch, where they just fucking point a camera at, like, a tabletop. Or, like, poker.
Yes.
I know poker's on Twitch a lot, which is a little bit weird to me. But, like, yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Poker's kind of cool. So now, okay. I've narrowed it down to three things that... Because any mechanic in a physical card game, you can pretty much do it in a digital one just fine. But there's three aspects that cannot be recreated in a digital card game without a lot of fucking effort.
Mm-hmm.
So now, number one and the most important one is card games are played in a physical space and are a social activity. You go to your friend's house and play some fucking card games while eating pizza, drinking Dr. Pepper, and playing Super Mario Party.
Wouldn't eating pizza with your cards get them all greasy and gross?
That's why you use your bad decks, or you get sleeves.
Okay.
Like, you go to your local comic shop for Friday Night Magic, which is a thing that Wizards of the Coast does, where you can go there and they have promo cards, and usually, like, stores will have stuff going on. Or you go to a pre-release for a new Magic set, where you can go to your comic shop 1 week before it comes out. Or you go to your local community college's lunchroom and skip classes to play Commander and stink up the whole fucking place, you disgusting fucking annoying nerds.
Ugh.
They are disgusting, dude. They just sat in the corner, stunk up half the fucking cafeteria, and all they did was play Magic and League of Legends, and they were very loud. I hated being around them. I just want to eat my goddamn pretzel and go to class.
Ugh.
So at any of these places, you're also seeing other people's card collections, and of course, I don't know why it took us 42 minutes to get to it, but literally just trading cards between people, like, it's not a big fucking deal.
So you can't
just trade cards.
Yeah, I really wanted to say this. You can't trade in Hearthstone. Whoops. Fucking in Hearthstone, you just buy packs or perish, or you can use dust, but you're not going to have any dust until you buy fucking packs, because you can take garbage cards or duplicate cards, make dust, and then spend a lot of dust to make other fucking cards. And you got gold rarity, which is like a foil, which is either worth more dust to both dismantle and to fucking craft. But there's very little player interactivity in Hearthstone, both gameplay-wise and out of game. Like, I want to say, like, hello to a guy. I can't get on mic and say, yo, what's up, chucklefuck? I can just use
the... Oh, I didn't know the single was on. What's poppin', G?
Yeah, you can't do that. In Hearthstone, you can just say, well met, or hello there, or howdy. You know, you whatever the character fucking says, and that limits it greatly. I know why, because let's be honest, if there was a mic in Hearthstone, you'd have some fat guy that's like, no, ooh, look at me. Ooh, I spent like $500 and I'm only rank 14. Beep, 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 on the other fucking microphone. But... you lose, but that's kind of funny. You lose a lot of goddamn shit. Like, half of those Street Fighter 4 videos back in the day wouldn't be nearly as funny if I didn't hear the other guy scream on the fucking microphone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you go to these social places to play Magic, everyone's having a gay old time. You're checking out cards. This dude's showing you his fucking... I have a copy of my favorite card in Magic, Skeletal Vampire, from every single set he's ever been printed in. He's a shit card, but, like, if someone took it through my binder, they always go, why do you have, like, 10 of these cards? Or, like, misprints and shit, where I had a bunch of cards that, like, one of my friends, Duncan, he actually opened a pack, and he had a foil, but it was, like, half the ink was gone, so it was a white card with, like, a text box at the bottom that was just foiled over. Weird shit like that. So, now, I'm not the first person, actually, to notice these three mechanics I'm talking about. Wizards of the Coast is actually aware of them and used them in their unstable, unglued, and unhinged, like, wacky joke decks. These were packs that you could buy the cards weren't legal to play in anything because they played with a lot of weird shit, but they were just fun goof off whatevers. So one here. Now, this one is literally impossible. You could not possibly make this in a digital card game. It's called Ashnod's Coupon. You tap it and target player gets you target drink. You pay the cost for that drink.
Does he have to do it?
Yeah, target player has to get you target drink. That's what the card says. He's got to do it. Or gimme five. So gimme five, you play it, and you gain one life for each person who high-fives you in the next 30 seconds. Each player who high-fives you and is also playing with this dumb goofy set also gets one life. Oh, it also has the errata text, don't hit people. Or this one. This one's fucked up. I love this one. It's called Hangman. It's a creature that when he comes in, you secretly write down a word with 6 to 8 letters. Any player can pay one mana to guess the word or an unguessed letter. If they guess wrong, he gets a 1-1 counter. When a player guesses the noted word, you destroy Hangman. You see, like, these are all things that require participation with physical people around you.
That's something Blizzard just can't have. They don't like when people talk to each other. Have you ever played Battle for Azeroth by any chance?
Nope, because I don't play World of Warcraft. I play RuneScape, Alex. Okay, I'm a RuneScape Chad.
Escapee, as we call ourselves.
Exactly. Now, the second mechanic that you can't do in a digital game.
I thought that was the second one. I think this is supposed to be number three.
No. The first one is just social stuff. Like, doing the weird, like, going out, interacting with people, going outside of your fucking disgusting nerd cave.
Ugh.
That's all the social stuff. Now, the second one here is the actual physical qualities of a card game. Like, touching cards, shuffling them around in your hand, playing them, you know. When you're holding cards, there's actual weight in your hand, and it feels more real. You've got, like, so one of the things you can do in Magic, and this is, I always think about this whenever I play, is my friend Tim from Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. He started playing Magic a little bit before me, and he started playing in a set called Innistrad that was all about, like, colonial, like, it's like Salem witchcraft shit, right? So there's a bunch of zombies. Yeah. And he had a card called Zombie Apocalypse. What it did is at the start of your turn, you get X zombies, where X is half the zombies you control. And he had they had little token cards that would just have like a picture of a zombie, and that would have 2 power, 2 toughness. And every time that happened, he'd go over and take 1, 2, 3, 4 more zombies and put them on the fucking table. And I slowly get to see his table. Like, I couldn't see the table anymore. There was too many fucking zombies. That has like an actual, like, it you feel the fucking pressure. You feel it on, as opposed to just seeing zombie times 8, you know, in a digital format, because they don't want to clutter the table.
In Hearthstone, you can only have 7 minions on the field. You can't stack minions on top of each other either. You can just have 7 minions, even if they're all the same minion. It's very small in scale compared to that.
Now, so Tim's got all those fucking zombies down, and I'm about to lose. I draw off the top of my deck, I draw Annihilate. I play that, and I destroy all creatures on the field. He has to pick up each one of those cards and put them together and physically take them off the field. It's a lot more impactful for both sides. Now, if I would have played that destroy all creature, like, I pulled that out, I went like, ugh, slapped him in the fucking field. Now, if I would have played it digitally, it would have just went, all right, tap 4 mana, and lightly gone on the field. Because the game doesn't know that that was the thing that just turned it all around for me. Because it wasn't a mythic or legendary, so it just plays a normal animation, you know?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, so in person, you can do things with cards that change depending on what's going on, you know?
Yes.
The card game's never going to know when you get to play something and go, oh, fuck!
Well, there is one kind of thing in there. So in Hearthstone, if you have a minion that hits with a lot of attack, like 8 or more, you hit the opponent, the screen shakes, and you hear like a thud, and you hear like little people in the back and go like, oh! You hear like the crowd, because the idea is that you're in playing these games, and there's people watching you play.
Now, I've got a few cards here that require on things being real, like extant, in the physical world. One of them is Chaos Confetti.
Yeah,
you take the card and you rip it into pieces and throw it onto the table from 5 feet away. Destroy each card that it touches. Or Slaying Mantis. You whip it like a fucking frisbee onto the battlefield and it fights each creature that it touches.
That's my favorite card you've ever showed me.
It is the best. The third one. And this one... Now, some people might say it's not a good thing, but you could fucking cheat. So a digital card game, as we said before, cannot allow cheating outside of exploiting bugs. But in real life, there's nothing stopping Shitty Timmy from sneaking a land out of his fucking long sleeve shirt.
Okay, so let me get this straight. What are the good things about physical card games is that you could cheat in them? Is that what you're saying, Ted?
Yes, because you want to know what's technically cheating? House ruling. You cannot house rule in a digital game. Now, there's one of our friends, Duncan, again. He has a card called Savala. Or actually, let's use a different example. So back when I was first starting, we would often play me, my friend Tim, and my friend Lucas, a three-player game. And this was during Ravnica, so we each had, like, our guilds. I played Dimir, Tim played Silencia, I think. No, he played Boros. And then our friend Lucas played Orzhov. Now, the Orzhov mechanic was you play a card, and then you can pay one extra mana to deal one damage to each opponent, and then gain one life for each one. And it turns out that's really fucking powerful when he gains two life from it. And because we're playing, you know, kitchen table, we're playing friendly games, we all agreed, okay, Lucas, that's too powerful. So instead, when you do it, you only gain one life. That's technically cheating, but it made the game a lot more fun for us as we were just starting out because we didn't have the cards we needed to deal with that much life gain.
See,
now, there's actually... No, shut up, Alex.
Woo!
Shut up. There's actually two cards that are just straight-up cheating in Magic. One of them is called the Entirely Normal Armchair. What it is it doesn't cost anything to play. You just put it on the field, and the opponent can pay zero mana to return it to your hand, only if they can see it. If they don't, you can pay two mana and destroy an attacking creature. So there's an official playmat from Wizards of the Coast that is all copies of that card, like, strewn across the entire fucking playmat, so you can just sneak it on there on top of one of those, and if the opponent doesn't notice, it stays.
Oh, okay. See, when you open this thing up with cheating, I immediately had a flashback to this fucking stupid video that someone made. I won't throw him under the bus, but he said, one of the things that you're gonna, that I want in Classic WoW, ninja looting. Because the thing is that if someone ninja loots you in WoW, now that guy gets blacklisted. Like, you may lose your loot. Now this guy's on fucking blast in the server because the servers are smaller in vanilla WoW. Now he's not going to be invited anymore. He's not going to do nothing anymore. It adds social interaction into the game. And I said, no, you fucking idiot. It's better that it's gone. It's a pain in the ass. Fuck him. Fuck you. You are actually incorrect. I can still say, hey, do you need this? No? All right, whatever. Because they allow you to trade loot like you can do in Modern WoW. If you pick something up that you don't need, you can give it to your party member. He doesn't like that because it's not classic. I say, you're stupid and wrong. The reason that's even in there is because people bitched about shit like ninja looting. You don't understand that a lot of changes happened because of what people didn't like. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so the only other card is literally called Cheaty Face.
Cheaty Face.
You don't have to pay his mana if you just cheat him in. And fucking, I saw this happen, I swear to God. Someone was playing Commander, which is, because Magic also has like a million different formats. Commander is you can only have one copy of each card that's not just like a normal fucking mana. And he had sleeves, and he was about to lose, and he goes over, and he opens his sleeve, goes behind it, Cheaty Face. Goes to his next one, Cheaty Face. His entire deck was sleeved with extra Cheaty Faces. And so he was able to sneak it on the field because the guy didn't notice.
So, is Cheaty Face like a legal card?
No, it's all silver border. All the ones that I brought up are all silver bordered, which was them playing with the mechanics of a social situation and shit.
So they're meme cards, like the man.
Unless everyone agrees that it's okay. Like, I had a... Another example of house ruling. I had a deck that was all about flipping coins because I found some really fucking old cards that were actually legal where you would just flip coins. And there was a gray card called Goblin Bookie where you could tap them and then reflip a die or like reflip a coin or reroll a die. And it wasn't even like, it, you know, that's not busted. So we just house ruled that it was okay to play it. There's also, I got two more bonus goofs that are just like fun cards. There's Infinity Elemental. He has infinite attack power and 5 toughness. So I don't think you could program that. I think it would just die. Like, I think if you hit someone with it, the game would explode. Because that's using, like, that's not a real number.
What was it again?
He has infinite attack power and 5 toughness. So if he hits a creature, he deals infinity damage. If he hits a player, he deals infinity damage, and that guy loses. If he has a lifelink and deals damage, you gain infinity life. It gets weird.
Don't worry about it.
That's not something you could program into a game unless you just gave him like 500 attack, you know?
Like a ludicrously high amount.
The other one is Urza, Academy Headmaster. He's a planeswalker that for each of his abilities, you have to go to the website askurza.com and click the button to find out what it is because they're randomly generated. It's goofy.
Oh, what's that one fucking, the fun hat? I remember you mentioning this one in the previous attempt to record this.
The fun hat?
Yeah, because it's like the one where you can take control of the player. Yeah.
So there was an older card that was pretty popular called Mind Slaver.
That's it.
You play it, and then you can blow it up. You pay like 5 mana, tap and sack it to control target player during their next turn. And then there's a goofy card of it. Like the art for it was like this like ancient golden helmet that was like on a dude. And then there was a goof one called Kind Slaver, where it was that same helmet, but it was like a beer hat where it had like a straw going down. What it was is you go, hey, target player that's not in this game, take control of this dude's turn, and neither player can advise him. So you just go over and take some random dude who's just like browsing the comics on the fucking store, and he has to take that guy's turn. It's goofy shit. It's goofy shit. So I guess in summary, digital card games outshine physical and a lot of ways, except for what I think is the most important. So, which is better? It really falls to if you value the social interactions and building stuff with your friends. If you like just the mechanics and you don't mind not being able to trade and interact. And I don't think it's possible to make friends with random strangers over the internet on digital card games. The game won't let you do that.
Well, you can make plenty of friends with strangers, just not in Hearthstone, because I'm not going to be friendly with a guy because he said, well met, every time he played a fucking minion.
Yeah. So, if you prefer to pick up your phone and play on the couch, or if you prefer to sit at the kitchen table and open up your backpack with all your stuff, that really falls down to you. Now, there's actually a lot more about Magic that we wanted to talk about, but I think it was better to split it. There's a really interesting design philosophies in Magic. I mean, they made cards for this unset that were all wacky, you know, out of game shit. But whenever they design the card, there's always there's 3 archetypes they use. There's Timmy, Johnny, and Spike. And then they have the whole color pie and all that crazy shit. But I decided I'm probably going to split that off and do those with Dan, because Dan knows a lot more about like the game design and philosophies of Magic and shit. So we're probably going to do that episode near in the future. But I thought it would be pretty fun to look at digital and physical, look at the differences between the two, and just kind of compare and contrast. I guess, is there anything that you want to say before we start the end episode plugs, Alex?
All I can really think about is the differences to me is that games like Hearthstone or Magic Arena, while they don't have the social interactions, being more convenient is really, really, really nice. And I don't even just mean, like, not having to carry all my fucking cards. I mean just, like, not having to sit around doing coin flips or dice rolls or putting tokens on things, having the game just take care of, like, when you get a 1-1, the number on it just goes up by 1-1, right? Not to put no fucking coins on or nothing. Everything is handled for you. I kind of wish Hearthstone would add more mechanics. Like, I wish it had a graveyard. I wish it could be a little more in-depth. They've been taking strides to make the game a little more serious. Like, after the whole Yogg-Saron fiasco, and every tournament was kind of just like a shit show of RNG, they've tried to make things a little more focused and targeted to actually be, like, an actual game. And, like, games have been, in this current thing, way longer and way more focused and way more enjoyable. And I hope they... I really, really hope that they can add some more cool things that Magic does, like a fucking graveyard.
So, you guys can find the podcast here on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play. All that's in the description. On YouTube, there's been in the background of this me playing Magic the Gathering Arena. I know I fucked up by not using that kill spell on the legendary Merfolk, but I think I won that game anyway, so shove it. Discord in the description, Patreon in the description, and remember, Alex, neither Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering are as lame as Yu-Gi-Oh!
This is true, I can't argue that.